Chapter 43, The Poverty of a Rich Man. After 6 years of marriage, Lipa begged his father-in-law to allow him to manage one of his many branches of business. Reb Tzadik Hillel was surprised at this request. He had hoped that the brilliant Torah scholar would continue learning even after the 6 years ended. He did not realize that during that time, Lipa had become an entirely different person on the inside. Reb Tzadik Hillel accepted Lipa's request good-naturedly and gave Lipa one of his largest estates to manage. Even in his worst nightmares, he could not have imagined what would happen when Lipa entered the world of business. Lipa quickly became a business expert. He was clever and ambitious. Before long, his estate was more successful than anyone thought possible, and he impressed everyone with his achievements. Lipa often visited the palaces of the noblemen and the mansions of the paritzim. He won their hearts with his wonderful manners, clever tongue, and handsome features. Whenever he opened his mouth in song, the noblemen would stop and listen with delight. He became their close friend, and they began visiting him in turn in his beautiful villa. All this gave Lipa a sense of deep satisfaction. Lipa was often invited to attend the parties and dances that the paritzim held on their estates. These events were wild and carefree. Needless to say, this all had a drastic effect on Lipa's neshama. The more he sought the honor of the paritzim and the pleasures of their parties, the closer he moved to spiritual disaster. Soon enough, the Torah scholar went around humming non-Jewish songs. He grew cold and unfriendly to anything holy. At first, it was only his wife who noticed these changes. She watched in horror and with a broken heart as her brilliant husband fell so swiftly. Before long, however, Lipa had gone far enough that the rest of his family and the other Jews around him also noticed the change. They realized that Lipa no longer cared about the mitzvahs, nor did he continue davening at the local shul. In fact, he stopped davening altogether. Lipa quickly slid down a slippery slope that no one was able to stop. He was driven by jealousy and pride, the two midas from which he suffered even before his fall. These midas grew even stronger now that he was enjoying a carefree life and receiving honor and praise from the non-Jewish noblemen. One day, Lipa had a brilliant idea. Why should I be considered the charming Jew who was invited to the home of the paritzim to entertain them? He asked himself. I can do far better than that. I can become a paritzim myself. The idea never left his mind for a moment. With each day that passed, he was more convinced and amazed at his own brilliance. He soon put his plan into action. Lipa returned to his home with his beard trimmed and shaped in the style of a nobleman. He was dressed in the expensive outfit of a paritz. His wife opened the door and struggled to recognize the man standing before her. When she realized who it was, she was speechless. Could this be the studious young man that I married just a few years ago, she wondered? Why, if it were not her own husband standing before her, she might not have been able to stop herself from laughing out loud at the ridiculous sight. Just look at his silly beard, shaven at the sides and protruding comically from his chin. Just look at the tall, round top hat, balancing awkwardly on his head with an extra large feather sticking out from one side. But this was no joke. It was her very own Lipa. How do I look? He grinned at her. Do you like it? The poor woman just stared at him, hardly believing her eyes. She was too shocked to speak. She could not bear to look at him. She spun around and rushed to her room, where she locked the door and broke into bitter, uncontrollable weeping. The Jews of Harki and the nearby villages were not impressed with Lipa's new lifestyle. In disgust, they called him Lipa the Paritz. Lipa was delighted at his new title. This was exactly what he wanted. He had finally succeeded in becoming a paritz, just like all the other wealthy noblemen. In fact, he was still not satisfied. He had to show everyone that he was an even better paritz than all the other paritzim. He paid a fortune for the fanciest clothes, and he bought himself an elaborate carriage that was far nicer than the carriages of any non-Jewish paritz. The news that Lipa had completely abandoned Torah and mitzvahs eventually reached the ears of the Rav and Rosh Yeshiva of Harki, Rav Nachman Yitzchak. His heart sunk in pain. How could his precious, brilliant Talmud have fallen to such a low level? His pain and guilt was all the greater when he remembered that he was the Shadchan who had suggested Lipa for Reb Tzedek Hillel's daughter. "What have I done to this wonderful, good-hearted Jew?" he asked himself, thinking of his friend Reb Tzedek Hillel. "And what pain have I brought upon his poor daughter?" More than anything else, he felt responsible for having been the indirect cause of Lipa's downfall. By suggesting the shidduch, he had put Lipa in a position where wealth was too easily available to him. "Please travel to Lipa's estate," Rav Nachman Yitzchak instructed one of his students, "and tell him that I would like him to visit me for a private conversation." A few hours later, the student returned to the Rosh Yeshiva with a pained expression on his face. "Excuse me for saying so, Moreinu, but the Jewish Paritz refuses to come to you," the student announced. "He told me, with all due respect to him, if he's interested in meeting with me, he must come to me, certainly not the other way around." Rav Nachman Yitzchak covered his face in grief. "Chazal taught us that if there is no Torah, there is no Derech Eretz," he sighed in deep pain. For the next 3 days, the Rav of Harki thought carefully about how to proceed. Eventually, he decided to disregard his own honor as Rosh Yeshiva, which was in fact the honor due to the Torah. He would personally travel to meet with Lipa. However, he would not go alone. The Rav asked 9 other men to accompany him so that they would have a minyan. They reached Lipa's large estate. The Jewish Paritz welcomed his former Rosh Yeshiva with great respect. He walked beside Rav Nachman Yitzchak and brought him into the hallway of his stylish mansion. "Look, my master and teacher," exclaimed Lipa with pride, waving his arm towards the lavish architecture and furnishings of his home. "All my years of learning did not go to waste. My study of Gemara and Pilpul in the most difficult areas of Shas sharpened my mind. Thanks to all that, I am now a most successful businessman." Lipa's words pierced Rav Nachman Yitzchak's heart like a sharp sword. He stood still with his eyes closed tightly. He called out in pain, "So much material wealth, but so much spiritual poverty." Warm tears rolled down his cheeks and fell onto his long white beard. Rav Nachman Yitzchak opened his eyes and stared hard into the eyes of his former Talmud. "Lipa," he called out, "how the mighty have fallen. You are one of my most precious and best students. You have fallen so low. Oy, how painful this is for me to see. I want a terrible Chil Hashem. Lipa, the gates of Tshuva are never closed." Lipa looked quietly at his Rosh Yeshiva. Perhaps his words had some effect on Lipa's heart. Perhaps not. He certainly did not seem moved at all. His face looked just as blank and unfeeling as before. Rav Nachman Yitzchak held his breath and desperately waited for Lipa to say something.